him with a wheel, two pedals off of the sides of it, and somehow he's balancing on the thing.
A weekend for the arts and for sports.
We're hoping to get revenge against them.
It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Thursday night into early Friday is expected to be a good time to see the northern lights from the Lynn Canal. According to the state's Geophysical Institute, located at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, the aurora forecast for the night of February 17th is considered active, up from moderate the day before and low the day after. The best time is around local midnight, when the northern lights are likely to be visible from Inuvik to Petersburg, with waves visible lower on the horizon the further south you are. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association also distributes an aurora forecast, claiming a 35% chance of northern lights on Thursday night into Friday morning. NOAA says those are still good odds that a moderately strong geomagnetic storm is likely after nightfall. A music reviewer in the San Francisco area said only a poet could explain the sound a piano makes when Tian She is playing it. Another said one of her pieces was madness explained. Either way, Tian She's music, that's She spelt H-S-I-E-H, translates well anywhere she plays, from Hungary to China to the U.S. Her next tour stops are Skagway and Haines for two upcoming concerts. An occasion more rare than at first glance, says Skagway Arts Council organizer Donna Grifford.
One of the Arts Council board members was talking to somebody on the street, and they knew all about her and said, oh my gosh, I can't believe she's coming here. So she definitely is well known out in the world of classical piano, and so we're all looking forward to doing that.
Born in Taiwan and raised in China, She immigrated to the U.S. with her family at age 9. She began her musical studies with her mother and continued working with talents at the Manhattan School of Music and the University of Houston. She is bringing her musical abilities to Skagway School on Sunday, February 20th at 6:30 p.m. and to Haines Chilcutt Center for the Arts on Tuesday, February 22nd at 7 p.m. Tickets are available at the door. It's only a sliver of the arts offerings around the Lynn Canal this weekend. Skagwegians also have a chance to craft their own string instrument or watch rare films on a big screen from a plush recliner. A four-session ukulele building class begins this weekend in Skagway. Interested participants, no woodworking experience necessary, can call 983-3650. Also coming up is the Winter Weekend Film Festival in Skagway, back for its third year this Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday.
Initially, the idea was just to get people out of their houses, get them to socialize a little bit, and because we don't have a movie theater in town, movies are always exciting, and down south, it's a little more of a social thing when you go out and there's a bunch of people in the audience watching with you, whereas here in Alaska, I think most of us are used to watching them on our couch, all alone.
The cost of the Skagway event is $5 per film or collection, or all weekend for $20, less for council members. Those holding a weekend pass also have a chance to sit in the coveted VIP recliner and watch a movie in a style that is the envy of all.
Which is prominently in the front of the room, closest to the screen. It's got a little chair if you have a partner with you that needs to sit in a regular chair. But it also has a little end table so you can put your snacks there. It's, of course, got the pop-up footrest. We tuck you in with a little blanket and a headrest.
The theme this year brings the world of travel to a room of moviegoers and one lucky recliner potato in a series of 7 films or sets of shorts over 3 days.
Not just travel from one part of the country maybe to another, but we have also included films on different ways to travel, and we have one short that was pretty exciting. I watched it the other night, of a guy on ice skates, and he's hopping around on a glacier playing hockey, if you can imagine. And then we have a couple old ladies with walkers that are traveling in a park. We have Tour de Sword, and he's on what he calls an ultimate wheel, and it's not a unicycle because it doesn't have a seat. It's just him with a wheel, two pedals off of the sides of it, and somehow he's balancing on the thing, and he's taking a tour around the town of Seward.
The festival has another twist. All the films selected were obtained straight from the filmmakers themselves and can't be seen anywhere else.
Our other goal with the Film Fest is to try to get films that can't be seen anywhere else. I think one of our films might be able to, you might be able to get it in some obscure place or maybe on Netflix, but all the others are not available on Netflix. They're not available at the library or the video stores or anything. A lot of them were award winners. We had people send them from Australia and from, there's a guy from Turkey that sent us a film.
One of those filmmakers is Greg Chaney.
Filmmaker Greg Chaney is coming from Juneau to do a little question and answer after his film. And his film is Journey on the Wild Coast.
This is a very different kind of a documentary. This is about a husband and wife who walked from Seattle, Washington to the Aleutian Islands. And in their journey, they came through Juneau, which is how I met them. And after they were done with their trip, I was really interested in seeing their documentary. And they had said, well, they didn't really have anyone lined up to do it. So I was excited to help them out.
The film has already been shown in Yellowknife, Homer, Juneau, Fairbanks, and Anchorage, among the best of the fest from their film festival. A Q&A with Chaney that follows his film showing will answer questions about the details of the couple's journey that covered around 4,000 miles of Alaskan winter travel on foot and pack raft. Details that reveal how the couple survived that crossing in temperatures so cold they ended up stuffing their clothes with grass to keep warm.
A really different kind of adventure movie, because the main characters or the people that did the trip are a husband and wife team, and they travel together, and the reason they were able to travel so far is they carried very little gear, and the way they did that was they would share everything. So they brought one spoon, one fork, one pot, one toothbrush, one sleeping bag, and so in some ways they were able to carry less gear than you would think of kind of the rugged individualist would carry. And so as a result, along with tremendous drive, they were able to make this incredibly epic journey. And it's just very entertaining to watch.
The film festival starts at 7:30 p.m. Friday at the AB Hall at 2nd and 3rd in Skagway. The films run through Sunday afternoon. Tickets are available at the door or at the bookstore. If the latest tournament for the girls, Glacier Bears, is any indicator, the basketball team falls somewhere between number 4 in the state and number 1 among 3A schools. The girls, Glacier Bears, fell to number 1-ranked Barrel Whalers last week in their first appearance at the Elks tournament in Valdez.
We got back to doing what we've always done as Glacier Bears, and that is play tenacious defense and scrap and hustle.
Brian Elliott is the girls' team head coach, who accompanied them on their long trip to South Central Alaska.
It was just a great experience for us to go up north. We had never played out of Southeast since I've been coach, so it was just really important that we went to a new venue, new teams, new gym, new everything. I kind of call that tournament a dress rehearsal for the state tournament. A lot of the teams up there are going to be in Anchorage.
The Glacier Bears beat Valdez by 5 points the first night, giving them a chance to get even with Kotzebue, who beat them back in December.
They got the better of us then. We didn't have our full team, and we were just kind of starting out learning how to play together back in December. So we made sure that they knew what we were all about up there last week.
The highlight of the tournament was the championship game, where the Haynes team went up against the number one team in the state. Junior Anna Jacobson goes in as wing and point guard for the Glacier Bears. It was the first time she and her teammates ever played the Whalers.
We went there that long drive, and we felt we needed to do good here. Let's win some games. And we were wanting to play Barrel because we'd heard so much about them, and we're like, we just have to focus on what we want to do. Let's work our hardest, and let's get up to the championship game. And we did, and against Barrel, and they were very good.
Barrow came into the tournament with an esteemed record, undefeated 19-0. The Glacier Bears got a glimpse of the Whalers' talents and height, counting 1 6-foot-4 girl, before they faced them in the championship game.
We just heard number one team in the state, and they play all year round. We hear they've been to lots of team camps together. They've been playing together for a long time, and you can definitely tell they play as a team, and they know when to pass to who, and they're just really on top of everything.
Still, Barrow coach Jordan Danner issued a warning to her players before their last game about Haynes' high level of playing, saying to a local paper they were physical inside, shot the three, and weren't afraid to drive it to the hole.
We obviously learned that they're playing at a different level than the majority of high school teams, And if we face them again, we're going to be more prepared and do a few things differently to counteract some of the skill they have and some of the size they have.
Haynes lost 78-38, but it was an outcome that still turned heads in Alaska high school sports and prepared the Glacier Bears for post-conference competition.
We do have a team that can score a lot of points, but without that baseline of defense and hard work, we're not going to be very successful. And I think the girls learned that up in Valdez, that that's what it's going to take to beat teams in Southeast and move on.
When we go to state, we are definitely going to see them again, and we're hoping to get revenge against them.
The girls go for an undefeated home game record this weekend in their final games in Haynes and last conference games of the season. They play Mount Edgecombe Braves Friday and Saturday.
We have some settling up to do with them because they knocked us out of the tournament last year.
Skagway Panthers take on Angoon's Eagles Thursday and Friday. Glacier Bears boys play at Mount Edgecombe this weekend with game broadcasts on KHNS Friday and Saturday. Streaming video of the games are available through the Mount Edgecombe website. Then KHNS airs the Skagway boys versus Cake Thunderbirds Sunday and Monday. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News.